This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind the poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode one. All right. Hi, I'm here with Iris Jane, and she's going to read her poem, A Reminder About the Boy You Love.
All right. A reminder about the boy you love, as told through a swing dance in a physics textbook. The boy is but an echo. The boy is but a tune. The boy is but a sharp. The boy is but a scuff in wood. The boy is but a pause between sets, a present. Science promises pasts and futures slip into each other. I couldn't tell you why. I couldn't explain how the fabric of space and time dips and spins and stretches. But if you watch the dancer's shoes, how they turn on a dime, when the floor becomes pure grease and every glint of heel is a star, you will understand. You will see it in the way your friend plays the flute, keys clacking. It is all only interaction, quanta shifting. There is no here or this, just as there is no him. He's only atoms momentarily stable before returning to dust, like some Bible verse the liars got 1/4 right. The boy is but a blip.
Wow, that's so amazing.
Thank you.
So first, I want to talk about the title, A Reminder About the Boy You Love. How did you come up with that?
Okay, so this was kind of like both a reminder to myself about someone who, I wrote this a long time ago, I guess, but a reminder to myself about someone who I was, I don't know, like kind of focused on at the time, and then also like for my friends to kind of like just a reminder about like how someone can't be like your whole world, you know what I mean?
I think it's really awesome.
Thank you.
So the first line, as told through a swing dance in a physics textbook, did that come before or after writing the poem?
That definitely came after. So this originally was part of the title too, but then I decided that might be a little long. So it's kind of like a subtitle, I guess. And I didn't really know what I was going to use as a metaphor when I started writing it. And then I got to the end and I was like, I've kind of combined two of these different elements.
Yeah, so that happens to me too when I'm writing. Like, I have no idea where I'm going. And then it just kind of works out.
Yeah.
So the first stanza is so fluid, like a song. Did you have like a sort of song in mind, like the dancing part?
Yeah, so I guess I didn't have a specific song in mind, but I'm in a jazz band, and when we play gigs, sometimes we have, like, this pause between sets, like I mentioned, where you could just, like, watch all these people dancing, or you get to participate in the dancing, and I just kind of wanted to write something that was, like, fluid, like you're there, like, watching people dance and just listening to the music.
Yeah, that's great. So the second stanza, I really like that part. There's such good imagery and like the fabric and the dancer's shoes. I think that's really awesome.
Thank you.
So was that based on like real experience when you saw people dancing, or did you just imagine?
Yeah, so I guess this was kind of both real experience, but then I wasn't writing it like as I was watching people dancing. So it was kind of, I was sitting down and I just had this image in my mind. And also, originally, I didn't have it, like, in this format. I had it as, like, a prose poem without a lot of punctuation, and I just kind of formatted it like this to make it clearer. But again, I just wanted it to be, like, flowing and capturing both, like, a feeling and the imagery.
Yeah, I think that's great. So, do you start with prose poems a lot and then switch it to different forms?
No, this was kind of, like, the first time I did that. And it worked out. So I might kind of use that technique in the future. But yeah, I didn't really know what to expect with it once I started.
Do you write like short stories too?
Yeah, not often, but when I do, it's different because I feel like I'm a poet writing short stories as opposed to like a short story writer writing poetry.
Yeah, I get that too sometimes.
Yeah.
And so another part that I really liked was, he is only atoms momentarily stable before returning to dust. I thought that was so cool. And I sort of feel like the only momentarily stable is sort of like literal, like between school and friends and family, and then there's like metaphorical, like between childhood and adulthood when you're a teenager.
Yeah, for sure. I was kind of in this moment where I was being like pulled in a bunch of different directions. So I feel like I tried to capture that, like we're all just momentarily stable, like drifting between a bunch of different things. But then also I was in a physics class at the time, and I'd also just read this book about physics that had kind of like blown my mind.
Oh, what was the book?
It was called The Order of Time by Carlo Rovelli, I think. And it was just all about time and like the only difference between like past and future. I was like, oh, like I have to put this into something. and then I was kind of thinking, like, he is only atoms momentarily stable before returning to dust. Like, that's all of us. We're all just, like, a group of atoms. So every time I'm, like, getting really into my head, I have to just take a step back and be like, we're all just atoms here.
Yeah. I think that's really, really nice. Nice thought. Yeah. And then, like, some Bible verse, the liars scout 1/4, right? That was just so cool. And who are the liars, actually?
I don't know how I meant that, I guess. I think I was thinking about how a lot of people can, like, use, like, a religious text to push, like, a certain angle, but then you can kind of look at it, like, from an objective standpoint and be like, well, you know, maybe they meant it in, like, this more literal way, and maybe it is kind of true in a literal way, but in a different way than they meant it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So is the poem, do you think, open for interpretation? And also, should all poetry be open?
I love this question.
I know, me too.
Yeah, so in my English class, my teacher mentioned, like, que scripsi scripsi, which is, like, what is written, in Latin, I believe. And it's just kind of supposed to mean, like, once something is written, you've, like, given it to the reader. Like, you don't really get a say anymore about, like, what people interpret from it. And then also something else I was talking about in my English class this year is that there is no such thing as, like, the deep hidden meaning. And I also love that idea because I feel like a lot of the time when I write, I think about, like, what do I want my readers to get out of this? But it's also good to be thinking about, no matter, like, how much I, like, kind of try and push the reader in a certain direction, like, they're going to reflect on their own personal experiences or what they have in their mind associated with these topics anyway. So, like, I don't have control over that. Yeah. So, I think all work is probably up for interpretation because once you start reading something, you do, like, make it personal. Like, I feel like we have this sort of desire to connect things to ourselves as soon as we start reading them. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is definitely up for interpretation. I guess I have a way that I kind of meant it, but I also want you to infer some things or, you know.
I think that's what's great about poetry and all writing in general is that two people can read the same poem or book and get totally different meanings and, like, feel totally different ways about it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think that's definitely the power of, like, poetry and writing in general.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's definitely powerful to both be able to write as a way to, like, reflect on yourself, but then have someone read it and they are able to reflect on, like, themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because this whole podcast idea started when my dad and I were talking about one of my poems, and I was explaining, like, sort of the inspiration behind it and what I had sort of meant, and he was like, oh, wow, that's totally different from what I had gotten from it, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to be so, like, this is what this is about, and that's all you're ever going to read.
Yeah, I feel like that's so limiting to, if I were to just be like, this is what it's about, and, like, you have to read it this certain way. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it makes, like, writing an act of creativity, but, like, also reading is an act of creativity.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Like, I think Robert Frost said something about how, like, it's reading and writing is, like, 50-50. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's the author puts just as much in as the reader takes away.
Yeah.
I think that was Robert Frost.
I really like that.
Do you write a lot of poems inspired by dancing and, like, music in general?
Mm. Yeah, so I would call myself a musician, and I don't know, I feel like writing and music are, like, two of my passions, and I feel like I don't connect them that often, and this is kind of, like, a rare occasion where I, like, brought them together, so I don't know, something I've found, I've tried my hand at, like, songwriting, and I found I'm very poor at. Like, it's just not my forte. Like, I found I'm very bad at lyrics. Like, would you, I don't know. I'm bad at rhyming, too, so that. So, I don't know. I don't often write about dancing, and I don't often write about music, but I feel like I do have kind of maybe that prior knowledge that I can bring in if I want to.
I think that's really good. I sort of feel that way, too, because I play piano.
Oh, yeah.
I usually play classical.
Yeah.
And so sometimes that comes into my poems.
Yeah.
In a cool way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, music is art, and writing is art. Go back to the poem. Is there anything else that you want to talk about like the inspiration or certain parts?
I don't know. I think this poem is kind of a way of like giving myself perspective, but also maybe trying to give a reader perspective about not just like your place in like the world, but like the way that you can sometimes be so focused on like one person or one thing that you need to draw back a little bit and be like, we live in like, you know, on such a huge planet in such like a huge universe that, and there are so many things like we don't understand and so many things we do that just seem like incomprehensible. So I think this is kind of a way of just having some perspective with like the physics and like everything that's very kind of confusing, I guess. And then also like the music, which is something a little more grounded. So I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, physics is pretty mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I was watching this video about the Infinite Hotel.
Oh, the,
have you heard about
that?
Yeah,
the
Pandora. Oh my gosh, I was just such a headspin because the guy who was doing the voiceover was like, one day the infinitely large hotel was full. I was like, wait, wait, what? And then an infinite line of infinite buses came.
Yeah.
Like, that's just so hard for us to understand.
I remember in eighth grade, my math teacher being like, between like 1 and 2 there are an infinite amount of numbers, and then between 1 and 3 there are also an infinite amount of numbers. So does that mean there's some infinities are bigger than others? And I was like, I don't know.
Oh yeah, like the fallen stars.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that book is so great. So my friend was saying that she was in I think it was 10th grade math. And whatever that was.
Yeah.
And her teacher was talking about imaginary numbers.
Oh,
she thought the teacher was joking for like 2 weeks. And then they had a test and she had no idea what she was talking about. Which is great. And I think that this all comes back together somehow.
Yeah.
That absolutely. Physics is just so like hard to wrap your mind around sometimes. But so is like being a teenager, honestly.
Yeah.
There's so many concepts of like, all right, now you're just going to school and doing homework, and now you're going to be an adult.
Yeah.
And now you're going to, like, make decisions for yourself that are important.
That's kind of the crisis I've been having lately is the, now I'm in the part of my life where I can trace, like, every decision I make to, like, to some future consequence. And that's very scary.
I know, right?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's also kind of exciting, but it's mostly scary.
Yeah. It's just, like, this is what a lot of my poetry has been about lately, is just, like, being a teenager and trying to understand the, like, in-between of, like, I still kind of want to be a kid, but I know I'm supposed to be an adult, but I'm treated like both, and it's just confusing.
Yeah.
And then, like, what other people are doing confuses me, too.
Exactly, yeah. I feel like a lot of the time, the only thing I can really, like, write poetry about is, like, myself or, like, from my perspective or what I'm thinking, because, like, it's the only thing I'm even partly sure about, because I can look around and be like so confused by everything else.
The last sentence. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. So the boy is but a blip. In this one, I don't know if that seems like a little dark or, I don't know. I'm not trying to make it seem like any one person is like insignificant, but like in the grand scheme of things, we're all only just here for like a very slight amount of time. So, you know, make the most of that time that you have. And in one way, it's kind of like the boy's but a blip. Like, you only have so much time to, like, be with a person or to spend time and get to know someone. And then on the other hand, like, at the end of the day, it's, like, such a small thing. Like, a human life is, like, such this tiny amount of time that, you know, sometimes you have to take some perspective and be like, this is one small moment. But also, like, it's one, high school is, like, such one small moment of, like, your own life. So it's good to just be, like, even if you feel this way right now, you're not going to feel that way forever. This person may not even be in your life forever. So, yeah.
I think that's really great.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people just get, like, stuck on what this one person said about them and what this one person did to them.
Yeah. I feel like it's hard because in high school it does feel like everything matters like so much, mm-hmm. and I definitely feel that all the time. Like even such a small thing can be like all consuming. But yeah, it's good to take a step back and be like, this is such a small amount of time, like in the grand scheme of things of like the universe, but also like for your own life.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's all what like adults say, and sometimes it's like, oh my god, I don't want your advice. But they're like, you know, once you're an adult, you don't really think about high school that much. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is hard to understand now.
Yeah. And I also think it's maybe disingenuous for adults to say, like, oh, how you feel right now. Like, it doesn't matter, like, in the future. Because right now, like, this kind of, like, is our reality of, like, feeling all these things. And so it wouldn't, I don't know if it would do any good to be like, well, this won't matter later. But, like, it is, on one hand, it's good to have perspective. But on the other, like, This is our life. This is, like, our perspective and our reality. It's good not to disregard that.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes I wonder a lot about what I'm going to think when I'm adult, like, looking back on my poetry stuff, because I feel like it's a time capsule of what I'm feeling when I'm, like, 13 and 14 and 15, now 16.
Yeah.
And then if I'm going to be like, well, I don't know if I ever really felt that way, if I just thought it was poetic.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I feel that with old journal entries, too. Like, I look back at my diaries from when I was younger. And I also have been trying to, like, maybe have more empathy for, like, my younger self, but also to, like, be lighthearted about it and, like, laugh about it a little bit, too. Yeah, but what you said about whether I actually felt it or whether I just thought it was poetic, I definitely have that moment too where I'll look back and be like, did I really feel that? Or was I just kind of like playing it up?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes when people ask me like, what did you mean by this? And they think it's like so brilliant. I'm like, I just thought it was nice sounding. Yeah,
I thought it was pretty. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it weird for you when other people read your poetry like out loud or is it cool? Because that's the thing for me too.
Yeah, so I was at a writing conference 2 years ago, I think freshman year, and the way it worked was you would submit, like, a poem to get into the conference. Champlain College.
Oh, my gosh, I was just checking that out for the summer.
I love it. I'm sad they're not doing it at Champlain College anymore, but, but then the instructor read all of our poems aloud at the beginning of the workshop, and to listen to, like, my words, like, come out of someone else's mouth, a weird experience.
I know.
Yeah.
And I think definitely I put certain emphasis on the words when I'm like writing it and then reading it to myself.
Yeah.
And then when other people don't do this, like, oh, well, I didn't really think of it being read that way.
Yeah. There's this book, like Letters to a Young Poet by Graham Greene.
Yes.
And there's this one part in it where he says, I've like transcribed your sonnet so you can read it in my handwriting and like feel how deeply it is your own. Uh-huh. I think about that a lot. Just like, yeah, I don't know how personal it is, and then you can read it like in someone else's handwriting and still feel like it's yours.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
I think that poetry is just like so cool because of the connection between, you know, people writing it, people reading it, and also your past and present self, future selves, and like just it's all connected somehow.
Yeah.
And it's cool because a poem that someone wrote like 60 years ago. Yeah. Can still feel, like, true to us now.
Absolutely.
And Shakespeare, too. That was, like, 500 years ago.
Yeah, I got into an argument with my biology teacher last year about Shakespeare, and he's like, there are so many newer works that, like, are maybe not, like, better than Shakespeare, but more better express the ideas of, like, our modern time. And I was like, the themes expressed in Shakespeare are, like, transcendent of the time. Like, that's what makes it so beautiful is that it's this theme of, like, love or of death or, I don't know, all these parts of the human experience that can, like, exist in one time but still translate perfectly to, like, our life now.
Yeah, like, Romeo and Juliet, I feel like, obviously, it's a little bit different now, but, like, it's still the idea of, like, two people who shouldn't really be together but want to be together and they're, like, trying to figure out how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just beautiful.
Yeah. Just kind of like a whirlwind experience of being young, like,
Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like the sacrifice of what you would do for someone else.
Right, yeah. You know? And, like, that's not something that stopped in, like, the 1400s.
When did they take exactly.
Spitting out a year. Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that it's important to write poetry and to save poetry because it could affect someone a lot later on.
Yeah.
And the themes aren't just so niche that, like, right. if you read it 50 years later, it's not going to make sense.
Right.
I mean, obviously, if we were talking about hoverboards now, and in the future, they don't have them.
Yeah.
It'd be weird, but, yeah, overall, it's, like, it's still going to affect you in some way.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked to my mom about this when she says, never, like, throw away any of your own work. You may want to, like, look back on it someday. And I'm like, but why would I, like, want to look back on this? But, yeah, I think it's also important to, you know, read your old work, and you can still sometimes, like, feel what you felt then, or be like, oh, I can still connect with this now. I'm still the same person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wrote a poem, and it was about how when I'm older, I don't want to hate what I wrote.
Yeah.
And wish that I hadn't written that.
Yeah.
Because, like, the worst thing right now, this is how I feel, the worst thing when I'm older is for me to, like, hate who I was when I was younger.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. For a long time, I think a few years ago, I really disliked reading books where the main character was younger than me, because mm-hmm. I was like, I just can't connect with it. Like, I have no, like, thoughts about people who are younger than me. I just can't connect to that. And then I read this book, and the main character was the same age as me, and I didn't like it, and I thought she was, like, jealous and, like, not a good person. And then 2 years later, I reread it and was able to, like, have so much more empathy and be like, oh, like, she's not a jealous person. She's just a young person, and she's, like, hurting. Yeah, but then I tried to, like, take that perspective with, like, my old poetry. Like, I want to look back with that same sort of, like, empathy and perspective. Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't want to hate it either. I think that's definitely a scary prospect. But
yeah, because then, let's just say hypothetically.
Yeah, of course.
If I'm, like, 30, and I've gotten a bunch of books published, and I go to, like, book signings and stuff, and book tours or whatever, and, like, I'm sort of a well-known writer.
Yeah.
I don't want to think to myself, oh, anything I did when I was younger, before I was, like, quote-unquote famous, does not matter.
Yeah.
I don't really want to have that opinion, because then I feel like everything you write matters.
Yeah. Everything, I mean, at the end of the day, even if it wasn't, like, perfect or exactly how you wanted it, maybe you just didn't, like, have the tools to make it that way, like, as a writer. Or, you know, it's just this kind of, it is like a time capsule, like, looking back of, like, how you felt and how you wrote at that certain age, and, like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think so, too, for sure.
Yeah. And I guess that doesn't make that work, like, less important, either.
So, let's talk about inspiration now.
Yeah.
So, inspiration in general, where do you get your inspiration for poems?
Normally, I feel like I can only write really well or really, like, in a focused manner when I'm feeling a very strong emotion, but then I have to edit it when I'm feeling a little more calm. So a lot of, I normally get inspiration from, like, a strong emotion, and then I can draw in other elements from, like, personal experience or, yeah. Looking at this poem, I can't remember exactly why I thought to use, like, physics or dancing or music. But I think maybe, like, something will have affected me, like that book I read about physics, and then I'm like, oh, this would make, like, such a cool metaphor or something, yeah, and then I can write a poem about it, yeah.
Yeah, I get that, too. And I get inspiration at the weirdest times, too. Like, there's this one story, and of course my parents tell this to everyone, because it's so kind of funny. So I was walking my neighbor's dog, and I got this idea for a poem, and I was like, oh my god, this is the coolest idea ever.
Yeah.
I need to write this down. So I went back to their house, and I couldn't find any paper, but I did find a Yahtzee scorecard. So I wrote down the poem on the back of that, and I stole it from their house. But, yeah, that was just, I got the inspiration, I needed to write it down.
Yeah.
That was just the first way that I could.
Yeah, definitely, that's kind of an awkward feeling, is being caught somewhere without, like, a pen and paper or anywhere to record something.
And when I'm driving, too, I get ideas, which is probably not very safe, because I'm like, oh, well, what if this was a stanza? And then meanwhile, it's like, stop sign!
Yeah. No, definitely while driving, when you're just, like, alone and quiet, or, like, when I'm in the shower, that's when I start to get a lot of ideas. Yeah.
Yeah, I think you just need to be in some place where you feel like you don't have to do a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
Where your brain can just be free, and then it just kind of wanders, and you're like, oh, well, what about this, and what about that?
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to write a poem from a different perspective? like from a character's perspective or something.
Yeah, so last year I experimented with historical fiction poetry, which was definitely like kind of a new experience. But yeah, trying to write some from a character perspective. And that was always difficult for me. I don't know, I tend to write a lot of poetry like from my own perspective, but I think it's good to get out of that sometimes. I don't know.
I find it difficult to write from another person's perspective for poetry because that's so personal to me. I feel like my opinions always end up in there.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's good too because then when you write a short story with the same character, then you like feel like you're more connected to them.
Right.
And you kind of understand their brain process better. But yeah, I think it's really interesting.
Yeah. I think that's a good point, like when you go in and write multiple things from the perspective of the same character, that definitely helps you feel more connected to them. Yeah.
Do you think you would ever make an anthology of your poems, like a collection?
I would love to. I think that would be really fun. I just don't know if I have like the resources to do that right now. I don't know. Yeah. I go to a high school where we have to have like a grad challenge project where you can kind of like do whatever you want. So maybe I could do that for that, but I don't know.
Oh, cool. Yeah, my school has that too. Well, I'm homeschooled. Yeah. It's a program. And in order to graduate from the program, you have to do something called an advanced study project.
Mm.
And so people do like ornithology or art.
That's
or
really cool.
Dancing. Yeah, so I'm going to try to write a novel.
Oh my gosh.
But I'm not sure if it's going to work. I'm going to try to get published too the same year.
That's so exciting.
I know. I'm just going to go all the way out.
Yeah.
If it works, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But I think it's just important to push yourself to like.
Yeah.
Succeed.
Yeah,
but not
exactly.
Like,
to take risks. And
yeah.
Yeah. I think it's definitely nerve-wracking, especially when I'm writing. I feel like there's a difference between poetry I write like just for myself and then poetry I write for other people to read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like there's kind of like this Venn diagram like of poetry I write for myself and then poetry I write for people to read. And like in the middle section, like it is the work that I like put out to the world.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that's really exciting, but yeah.
Yeah, some things I write, like poems that I write, I definitely do not want anyone else to read.
Right,
it.
Absolutely.
And then I was like, well, maybe if I just change this metaphor a little bit or change the name,
yeah.
No one's going to know what it is.
Yeah, that's also the thing is I have to be careful when I write about personal experiences because I don't want anyone to think that my poem is about them.
Yeah,
sometimes
exactly.
It is.
I know. Yeah, sometimes I write poems, my family members make it in and they're like, "Ooh, I have a cameo in your poem."
Yeah.
So exciting.
How do you feel about your family reading your poetry?
Oh, I don't know. Because they all say, they're like, "I have no idea what this is about or what it's supposed to be about, but it's really cool and I'm so proud of you." Which is really great, but I don't know, sometimes that's a little bit weird because I feel like, oh, I don't really want you to read this. It makes me a little bit uncomfortable to hear someone else read this. But yeah, I think it's cool to share it.
Yeah, definitely.
And what's really interesting is that a lot of my neighbors read my poetry too. And my doctor actually does. I went to my doctor the other day because I had the flu. Like everyone does now.
Oh, no, yeah.
And she opened my file and she was like, "Oh, well, I've been reading your poems in the paper." And she cut them out and put them in my medical file, which is
really?
Like, I know. It was so cool.
Yeah. On one hand, it's like a good feeling to have someone come up to you and be like, "Wait, I read your poem in the paper." And it's a feeling of like, wow, that's really cool. But also like, oh, that's kind of like nerve-wracking to know that like people actually are reading it. Yeah. I feel like so often I feel like I'm just, you know, screaming into a void or like posting something that like feels very personal and I don't know how many people are gonna see it, and then it's like opened up to like the world, which is like just Vermont. But
yeah, like I wrote a poem about this moment after my grandma's funeral, and it was a little bit odd sharing it because it was like awkward, but it was kind of funny but kind of weird too. Yeah, but I think that it was important to share because maybe someone read it and they're like, "Oh, I felt the same way after my grandma's funeral or something."
Exactly. Yeah.
So if it makes you uncomfortable to share it, then I just kind of think that, well, maybe someone will read it and they'll like take something away from it that's important. And that is greater than my uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it kind of outweighs that.
But I think that overall, no matter what you do with poetry or like what you write about, I think it should just be something that you enjoy.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, and something that just makes you genuinely happy, not like stressed out or worried or whatever. It should just be something you enjoy and something that's like an outlet for your emotions and stuff.
Sometimes I get this feeling when I'm writing, I'm like, is this right? Like, can I do this? And I think the best part of poetry is that I can step back and be like, there, whatever I write, like, it's from my personal experience, it's about my emotions, like, how can it be wrong?
Yeah, exactly. There really is no right or wrong when you're writing poetry, or even fiction, too.
That's the cool thing about fiction, too, is you kind of get to control your own little world for a moment.
So, this is something that's interesting to me. If you were writing a book and you decided to write a sequel in the same world, do you think you would be able to do that? Because sometimes I feel like when I write a short story, I'm not able to go back into that world.
Yeah, I feel like if I had tied up all the ends, or I felt like the world could, like, you know, keep existing in this bubble of the one book, then I feel like I would have to walk away. Because I feel like sometimes, I don't know, when you open something up for a sequel or returning back, it doesn't feel as authentic or like real as it did the first time. I think it was something, if it was something that merited a sequel, I could probably do it, but yeah. Maybe I'll just leave it alone.
Yeah, like I feel like there are some books that just should not be touched again.
Yeah.
Like that should just be how that is.
Yeah.
But that's because they're so good. I don't want anything bad to happen to it. And that's why I don't watch that many book-to-movie adaptations, because I'm like, I don't want the movie to ruin the book.
Yeah.
And I haven't watched the Fault in Our Stars movie, because I love the book so much. Mm-hmm. Every single time I read it, it's like, oh my gosh.
I definitely feel that way too. Because on one hand, I'll read a book and I'll be like, oh, this is so excellent. Like, I wish there was more of it. But I know if there was a sequel, it would kind of ruin it for me.
Yeah. I want it to be a sequel, but I want it to be exactly how I say.
Right, yeah.
And this is another very controversial thing. I tell this to people and they get very angry sometimes.
Really?
I have not read any of the Harry Potter books.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yes. What is your take on that? Like, should I read it?
Yes, you should get on that. I don't know. I feel like the reason that reading the Harry Potter books was important to me was because I read them, like, when I was a kid and I was able to, like, grow with them. I'm still a kid. But, able to just, like, read them as I grew up, and they were, like, such a monument of my childhood. But then on the other hand, I know that my parents read them as adults, and it was, like, equally important to them as adults. So I say, go for it. You have nothing to lose. And they're also just, like, it's, the writing is just so beautiful.
Yeah.
And the world, I think that's one of the best parts, is that that's one of those rare examples where she opens the world back up 7 times, and it's just as good every single time.
Yeah.
And because you do, as you read each book, the world feels just as real. And yeah, her world building is amazing. So I would say definitely read it. Maybe, have you watched the movies?
I watched the first like 20 minutes when I was babysitting.
Yeah. I would say, yeah, don't watch the movies first.
Yeah.
And Cursed Child was not as good.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah. But what's really interesting is that I read about J.K. Rowling's inspiration for the whole idea. Mm-hmm. It's that she was a single mom, and she was very poor. She had, like, no money, and she got this idea for a book. And so she took this old receipt, and she wrote down the idea on the back, and no one really wanted it. They were like, this isn't really that great. Who wants to be a magical world, you know? And then someone found it, and they were like, wow, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And now it's, like, the biggest, sort of like a culture, honestly.
No, that's so true. Yeah.
So I think it's, that really inspires me as a writer, is that you can come up with this idea, no matter what your situation is, no matter what you have to write it down with, and then it can be something big that really affects people.
That's completely true. Yeah, I think that's the most amazing part, too, is that, like, it does. It affects so many people in so many different ways.
Yeah, I love reading so much. I read so many books. And I was reading about myths the other day for English and about Prometheus and how it relates to Frankenstein and all these other things. And it's so cool how like the inspiration can come from these really interesting places. And you wouldn't really think after to connect, a Greek myth about this man stealing fire from Zeus to a story about this man creating a monster. But really, it's all about an emotion. It's not really
That's
about the plot
true.
at the end of the day. It's about like taking something that you really shouldn't have, but maybe making it better, and like the risk of that.
I read this book by Rebecca Solnit a couple of weeks ago called The Faraway Nearby. And it's kind of a memoir, I guess. It's kind of like she's talking about her mother, but it's also nonfiction that she brings in like all these different elements, like Frankenstein, that made me think of it. And like Iceland and all these sort of like myths and also true facts, and just weaves them together in such a way that I'm like, I never would have thought to connect that. I feel like that's such a cool part of reading too, is being like, wow, I never would have made that leap.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's really special too.
It's definitely a talent to be able to like connect all those different things in your mind, but then also, I feel like every single person, if you gave them the same starting point, would go somewhere different with it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what's cool about writing classes and workshops and stuff is that you get the same prompt and everyone
Everyone
does
does
something
something different.
different. That's what's so cool.
That's also, it makes it so exciting to be like, I just want to see what everyone else did, because that kind of like expands maybe what you think is like possible to do, like as a writer too.
Yeah, and it's also interesting when the like two people they have the same prompt, but then their stuff's different, but then it sort of comes together in some way. It's like, oh wow, we like had the same brain idea. Do you often write with other people like as a sort of group project?
For school and things, yes, but with poetry, almost never.
Yeah.
I feel like I always really appreciate having like that workshop experience when you can like share it with people and like get feedback. I feel like that's always really helpful, but I often just like don't have like a committed workshop group or anything.
I feel like, I don't know, I sort of feel like I want to control it too much.
Something that happens is like as I'm writing a poem, I feel like I just have to do kind of whatever I want. And then when editing happens, like I'm open to suggestions from different people, but like as when I'm in the process of writing it, I'm feeling like I just have to get all these ideas out there in like the form that I want them. But I feel like it would be such a cool thing to have like an in-person writers group.
Yeah. I think that would be too. And it's good to bounce ideas off of each other for like, well, what if this character did this? Or what if this was a separate stanza? What if there was a line break here?
Exactly. That's definitely like the smaller things that like I have trouble with, and I would really like to be able to like consult with people about.
Yeah, because I used to do this workshop through my school where we would read each other's poems and then sort of edit them together. And that was really cool for me because there are a lot of things that we changed to my poems that I never would have thought about doing. Then that became like so cool to me because I'm like, what if you switch this word? Then it has a totally different meaning.
I also think it's cool, again, like to have different people read your work and interpret it in different ways, and therefore like edit it in different ways. That's also interesting.
What would really be cool is that if a bunch of people had the same poem and then they all edited it on their own to see like what they came up with from that'd be really cool. And I think that when I read someone else's poem and then they're like, oh, well, what's your feedback? I sort of end up giving them what I would write because it's like, well, that's not really your style. It's more like my style, but
But like that's what I would do. I think that's definitely true, because it's hard with writing to, it's not like if you're correcting someone else's like math homework or something and being like, well, this isn't true and you didn't do it correctly. It's different when you get someone else's poem and you're like, you tried to do this certain thing and I can either see where you were going with it or I can't, and the way that I'm going to edit it is going to be like from my perspective. Yeah, I think that's kind of what differentiates like poetry and all writing from like different forms of like feedback or correcting someone is that like the advice you give, a lot of it is either like take it or leave it. Whereas with math, it would be like, no, this is actually wrong.
Yeah.
Again, there's no poetry.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not really a big fan of math.
Yeah.
I don't really like that there's a, you know, right or wrong. You have to do it this way.
Yeah.
You have to do that.
Yeah.
But that's what some people like about it. So.
Yeah. I think that's so interesting, too. Because, yeah, a lot of the writers I talk to, yeah, talk about how, like, the right or the wrong and just, like, having something that's black and white is part of the appeal because that's just how their brain works. Oh, not a lot of writers. A lot of other people who aren't writers.
Yeah.
And then people who are writers say that they, you know, maybe that isn't how their brain works. And it's more of like a like flow of ideas and not necessarily just go right or wrong. Yeah.
So, wow, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love talking about writing so much.
Yeah, me too. I feel like it's also different to talk to other people who are also writers about writing too.
Yes.
Rather than, yeah, I can talk to like my parent friends who maybe don't have like that same background, and it's just kind of different. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really interesting talking to someone who doesn't write about writing, because they're like, I don't understand how you do it.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really something that's like really magical.
Yeah, not at all. Yeah.
It's just really the way that you would paint something or the way that you would, I don't know, run around in a field.
Yeah, I think, like, everything, the difference isn't really, like, that you can't. It's not like you can't do it. It's just maybe that you don't, and maybe you can try.
Yeah. It's really interesting, actually, talking about poetry.
Yeah.
Because, like it is, there's no right or wrong. There really isn't any point where you can stop, you know?
Yeah.
You could just keep talking about it and analyzing and comparing and finding this poem from the 1800s that relates to it, or some wacky idea that relates to it.
Yeah. Speaking of that, how do you know when your poem is done?
Sometimes I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, okay, well, this is just gonna be a nice smooth ending. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, on music, like there's a chord progression.
Yeah.
It goes back to the root,
cadences.
And that's a like
yeah.
satisfying ending. But sometimes I feel like it doesn't really have a satisfying ending.
Right, yeah.
Or, like, there really isn't an ending to it now at this point in my life.
Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I play around with the ending. I'm like, okay, well, what if I made it from this perspective or this or that? And then it changes everything.
Yeah.
So the ending, I think, is actually just as important, if not more important, than the actual poem itself.
For sure, yeah.
What about you?
I don't know. I feel like sometimes I know what direction the poem is going for, and therefore I kind of, like, know where it's going to end. And then other times, I just come to a place where I'm like, I don't have any more ideas, and I'll finish it later, or this will be the ending. And then sometimes I'm like, I just don't want to write anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's reached, like, its natural conclusion. I've just, like, squeezed all the life out of it, and, like, this is where we are. Yeah. But I feel like I always kind of go back and edit the ending and feel like, does this at least somewhat satisfying? I think sometimes it's good to leave things open, but
visually the ending is important too. Like, is it just one sentence or is it broken into a stanza or in parentheses too?
Yeah.
So I think that poetry is a lot visual too.
Right, yeah.
And just to see like the way that the lines are broken up and the way that two ideas are connected or not connected. Because obviously when you read it, we can't imagine it in that form.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I feel like it has to both, like, look good on the page and flow well as you're reading it because of, like, the line breaks or the way it's formatted, and also feel natural to, like, speak out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, endings are... It's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
To then be like, ooh, well, what if I do this really mysterious ending?
Yeah.
And then when you get, like, a great idea for it, oh, that's the best feeling.
Yeah.
Some endings are just a little bit bizarre.
Yeah. And that's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah. But sometimes if I know that I'm going to share the poem, I sort of feel like I'm holding back from what I really want to say. Which I'm going to try not to do.
Yeah. No, I definitely feel the same way though sometimes. I feel like sometimes I edit my work, like, based on the fact that other people are going to see it. Which, I mean, I think it's a good thing sometimes, but other times it can feel kind of limiting.
Yeah, like, if I'm writing something about someone who I like, and I'm like, yeah. Oh, I don't really want other people to know this about it.
Right, yeah.
But I do want to share the poem because I still think it's relatable and cool.
Yeah.
And that's kind of difficult.
Yeah.
But it's the, you know, push and pull.
Yeah.
Well, this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much
for being
on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. This is really cool.
I'm so excited about this. I think it's going to be
this
a really cool
be
way
great.
To connect readers and narrators and stuff.
Yeah.
This was episode 1 of Line Break. I hope that you enjoyed it and stay tuned for episode 2. Bye!